ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's roll the Wicked Wednesday holiday edition. It's a football frenzy. It's a football feast. NFL football, college football. Let's do this thing. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. And in fact, this is the last podcast of the week as well as Thursday is Thanksgiving. Friday is pretty much a holiday as well for everybody at the grid into holiday programming. We will be on Thursday night during the Baltimore Raven and Cincinnati Bengals football game that I will be sweating out as I've got the Baltimore Ravens in a survivor contest and we're still alive. And I really, you know, I can't take Green Bay. I can't take Detroit. I've taken them both. So I could take Kansas City. I could take Dallas. I could take Cincinnati. I could take Baltimore and I could take the Friday game as well. But I feel as if though, listen, I'm not going to overthink things. That Baltimore, they're at home. I know Joe Burrow is coming back, but his first game back could be a little bit, you know, he could struggle in his first game back. It's a massive game for Baltimore. So I'm going to sweat this thing out, and we'll be live on the grid on Thursday night. All right, we got massive college football games on Friday. College football rankings came out on Tuesday night. Ian Cameron in the house, Babano, Cam Stewart. How you doing, Babano?
I'm doing better. Doing better than I was last week. We're getting over this illness, but ready to go. And how can you not be excited about the next few days? Thanksgiving week, and you've got basically wall-to-wall sports Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've already had day and night college basketball early this week. It's a great time of the year for sports betting.
Yeah, you're a real warrior, Babano. I know you were under the weather last week, and I saw him tweeting, Cam. He's like, you know, I've been really sick, but I still was able to handicap the game. It's like, sitting at home with
Cam. Well, last night, I'm hearing Jack Michaels barely able to talk on the Oilers broadcast. Right. I'm like, Babano, he's like me. We're tough.
Yeah, have some Neocentrin.
There's people with real jobs, Babano, that like get up, go out in the world, or sick, have to deal with things. You give yourself a medal because you managed to handicap a game while you were coughing. Your toughness, Babano.
Some just right away call it quits when they're sick, not this guy.
Thai cats need toughness like you, Babano.
Maury and Cameron's, they'd have won a Grey Cup the last 26 years, so that's another story.
The real warrior. He sucked it up. I saw someone ask the other day online and said, how do you people that don't get sick never get sick? It's like people are sick all the time. There's no bitch about it.
Yeah.
I get sick like six times a year. It's like, yeah, whatever. Fuck you. Yeah, it is what it is. And you grind through it. But
that's a credit to you. Nobody knows when you're sick because you keep working every day. No days off.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I sound like I'm sick right now, but I'm kind of really not. But I don't think I'm 100%. But no, like Vin Scully said, everybody is day to day. But yeah, so the college basketball has been awesome. You got this tournament in Las Vegas. They're playing for money. That's kind of, you know, sabotaged other tournaments. We talked about it. Like the Maui used to be a bigger deal, right? Like big teams would go to the Maui Invitational. Yeah, it's a good tournament. And we've got USC and Arizona State in the championship game in Maui later tonight. But the Vegas tournament stepped up and paid people. There's a $30 million cash prize, like $30 million pot. So that's why you got all these major big time teams in Las Vegas yet. They really should just do an effing bracket, but the teams don't want to do it, right? There's a reason why you have this just sort of weird tiebreaker type stuff, because you have all these big time teams there and they don't want to lose the tournament. right? Let's say you're like Tennessee. Yeah, you didn't win the thing in Vegas, but you never lost a game, right? So it doesn't hurt you. Like, you don't want to, like, lose, and then you're going to fall in the rankings, and, oh, you're not as good. You got eliminated in this big-time tournament earlier in the year. So they didn't make it a bracket format. They just played a bunch of games, and they had, like, a predetermined tiebreaker system coming into place, which was either head-to-head and or margin of victory. And anyone that's paying attention to this tournament in Vegas, Michigan won by 40 and then 32. They've won their last two games by 72 points and smoking pretty good teams doing it. San Diego State, they beat by 40, and then they beat Auburn by 32. Right? So now they get Gonzaga tonight. What's your pick, Babano? Gonzaga and Michigan.
It's a really good game. It's no question. They're both playing a really good basketball right now. I kind of think the money toward Gonzaga is accurate. I think for both of these teams, it's obviously big resume building for, you know, later in the year when you're talking about seeding come the month of March. But, you know, I really like the way Gonzaga has been playing. I guess the one concern is they haven't been great from the perimeter with their shooting. That's going to be the interesting part. You look at their schedule entering this tournament. They had to play, you know, Oklahoma and Creighton. You know, on their home floor, they didn't have to go on the road for those, but still pretty good tests for this team early on in the season. Michigan, meanwhile, coming in with those wins against San Diego State and Auburn. I guess you could argue Michigan, because they won by such a dominating margin against Auburn. You know, maybe they were able to pace themselves a little bit for this game, which is important to point out because this is third game in 3 days for both of these teams. So, you know, Dusty May could get some of his starters off the court, whereas Gonzaga, you know, they had to battle with Alabama. They did have a big blowout yesterday against Maryland, 100-61. So I don't think they're in bad shape either. It's a high total, but Gonzaga's gone over in three straight games. I like the over a little bit. My one concern would be, you know, is defense ramp up, you know, with the title on the line here, but I still like over 163.5. And I took Gonzaga money line. I think I got it around -130.
The Michigan Wolverines are better defensively than Gonzaga. I think that's the difference, that Michigan will be able to get some stops. Michigan have 3 7-footers that teams just have a hard time dealing with. Like, Michigan can roll out different rotations and really seriously different looks. Most basketball teams, especially in college, most college teams have a look. Sorry, this is what we do. This is the strength. This is our lineup. You know what I mean? And they can't really adjust to it. They have what they have. Michigan have, like, so many big dudes. They can go, like, you know, Michigan have been going with a three big man and two guards, which in a modern era, no one ever does, right? So, and you've got, like, so you got 3 7-footers you got to deal with, and then you've got good guard play, and then Michigan go more traditional if they want. And, you know, they can throw three guards on the floor and a power forward and a big man. Like, that's what makes Michigan so difficult. Dusty May really has, like, different lineups that he can throw at teams and different looks he can throw at them. This is just an awesome, awesome early season game today. That total is high, but I got burnt last night with the Auburn total. I thought Michigan and Auburn, I was like, man, they're not going to get to 164 points. Michigan will play some defense and slow this thing down a bit. Yeah, I didn't count on Michigan scoring like 59 points in the first half, right? Like, Michigan's offense been on fire in Vegas this week. I'm going to ride the wave with the red hot Michigan Wolverines, but Gonzaga have been better than I thought they were. And like Babano said too, like, Gonzaga battle tested. You can't say, oh, they haven't played anybody. No, they have. They just beat Alabama 2 nights ago. Like, so Gonzaga are the real deal.
Very important. Graham EK plays well and stays out of foul trouble for Gonzaga tonight. They need him on that court big time.
Michigan are a deeper team as well. Listen, all you saw, you look at what San Diego State, everybody last night, oh, why is Oregon only a 2.5-point favorite? San Diego State. And I told him, I said, because San Diego State are better than they are. And they murdered them. Right, like, people were like, oh, well, look, San Diego State.
Oregon still hasn't covered a point spread this year. Just wanted to point that out to everybody.
They're offensively challenged, the Ducks. This has been a thing for years for the Ducks. They've slipped, right? Like, this whole, oh, Dane Altman's a great coach and stuff. Yeah, he was. He is. Like, he, you know what I mean, it's not like he forgot
how to
coach.
He's great in February and March. He always starts slow. Always.
He can't recruit. Nobody's going there. And like, you're, think about it. It's a Nike school. Like, you have, like, look at the football team. Everybody goes there. You know what I mean? Like, the Oregon Ducks, when's the last time they had a star player? Like, they don't, like, the, he's slipped. Like, the modern college basketball world, Dane Altman is having a really hard time keeping up.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be, you used to be able to get players to the Ducks by telling them, listen, we're an official Nike school. The owner of Nike is a Duck. You're going to get like 500 free pairs of shoes. You're going to get like, you know, gift bags every day of all this swag and stuff. That used to be enough.
Now, but no. Here's what it is now, is that you tell the kids, hey, this is Nike. We can give you all this great. Yeah, that's nice. Where's the NIL monies?
No, now point blank. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, no, I want $500,000 or I want $1 million cash like to play. Kid on BYU is getting $5 million. Right, like the Michigan.
What?
Like,
that's unheard of, Gabe. But get on BYU getting $5 million.
He's the first $5 million college basketball player.
Hey, Jimmer Fredette back in the day, freaking out. Unreal. Yeah.
$5 million.
That's nuts.
It's the owner of the Utah hockey team, Mammoth, the hockey team of the Jazz. He's the guy that's the big money guy behind BYU. Bro, BYU football, the same thing. They just got they got one of the top quarterbacks in the country to commit to them. And the same thing. Word is they're paying a kid like $5 million. Same thing. Like, so yeah, there's big money. So yeah, like, that's it. But Banner, like, yeah, offering a kid, like, yeah, you know what? We're going to give you $50,000 and some free Nikes. Whatever, dude. I'll play at UCLA instead. And they'll give me $4 million. Like that Dent kid from New Mexico. Donovan Dent, he transferred from New Mexico to UCLA this year. He's actually from LA, so it's not like he totally sold his soul or anything. He went back home. He's getting $4 million. Except the pressure's on him. They're getting mad at him because he's only scoring 14 points a game.
Yeah, not enough.
That's thing, though. Exactly, that's the one issue with getting paid now. That you,
if you're a kid, you want $4 million.
Yep.
I gotta tell you, Gabe.
People are going to start to complain after and go, well, how come you're not scoring 20 points? We're giving you $4 million, right?
It was kind of crazy, too, watching College game day for the Oregon-USC game. And those kids, the tree must be pretty good in Oregon because those guys were half asleep. I'm usually seeing people go wild. And, like, the only time they got excited was when somebody mentioned the Washington Huskies, and then they went bananas because they hate the Huskies more than the Beavers. But yeah, pretty crazy stuff. You're right, Gabe. Oregon's one of those schools that they get a lot of hype, but they're not like they are regressing. I couldn't agree more.
Well, their basketball team is
basketball, not football. No, football's amazing.
Yeah, that game day stuff though, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It's freaking five. It's like 4 a.m. there. Like the time does not work for college game day there. Like, it doesn't. The college game day starts literally at, like, what, 7 a.m.?
Yeah, the coverage, and the coverage is at 10 Eastern. So, yeah, it's 7 a.m. there.
No, it starts long before 10. Like, the Fox show is 2 hours. Like, the ESPN show camps, like, it's like 5 hours, bro. So, think about it. They start at 7 a.m., 8 a.m. I think they start at 8. Like, I think it's online for the first hour, but it's, like, it's 8 a.m. Eastern.
5 a.m. Pacific?
Yeah, exactly. So it's 5 a.m. Pacific. Like,
you're in bed. You know what I mean? Yeah, got to get out of bed.
And also, you know what? It's the second time they went there this year. The first time they went, they actually were kind of all lit up and wasted at like 5 in the morning there. They weren't this time. The best one they did was Cal. They went to Cal, and seriously, it was like 6 in the morning and stuff, and it was effing packed. Like, I think the kids from Cal were all on, like, rave drugs or, like, like, they were all, like, hopped up. Like, gleaming lights. And, like, they were, like, I was like, I think they all came raving from a rave or something. Yeah, like, that's why they're still up.
The Cal Golden Bear rave. That girl kicker, though, on the soccer team, she almost hit the kick. I was, like, I was cheering for the soccer player there. But, yeah, no, that was you're right, Gabe, because I'm watching this going, this doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't feel like a party. But,
it was because it's, like, 6 in the morning, whatever, 7 in the morning. And then you got the game later at the day at nighttime and stuff. So, all right. So speaking of the big games, big weekend of college football starting on Friday with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Cam, what's your pick? Ole Miss are 7-point favorites. The total is 62.5.
We're going to ride the cowbell. Mississippi State has been a money maker at home. I know Ole Miss is a very good football team. Rivalry game, Egg Bowl. I wish we were there. Hope those cowbells are ringing. It's going to be pretty early, 12 o'clock Eastern, but they'll be fired up and ready to go in Starksville. I'm going to take the Mississippi State Bulldogs in this spot. On FanDuel, you're getting a hook too, the 7.5, but it's 20 cents juice. But I like Mississippi State to keep it close. Lane Kiffin's been doing a lot of, you know, all the talk about him moving on and this and that, maybe a distraction. Mississippi State's playing with house money. I'll take the Bulldogs.
Well, he hasn't said very much, but you're right.
People have.
Everybody else is, and there's actually going to be an announcement made the day after. So on Saturday, this is going to come to a conclusion one way or another, the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes. Honestly, I don't think anybody knows what Lane Kiffin is going to do.
Good call.
I don't know if Lane Kiffin knows what Lane Kiffin's going to do. Like, there's not like, oh, yeah, you know what, this guy reports. Like, dude, how are you going to report what goes on in Lane Kiffin's head, man? You can't. Like, you don't know. The only thing that I would say is if you read between the lines, I don't think it's a very positive sign if you're Ole Miss that Lane Kiffin's daughter was on the LSU campus last week. Right? And in fact, she was visiting sororities and stuff. So now, it doesn't mean that it's a lock. It means she was like, it means that he clearly told his family, why don't you go to LSU, go to the university and see like how you feel about it there. Like, do you like it? Like, do you, you know what I mean? And like, this thing is real. And I don't know if you'll notice too, nobody's talked about the Florida Gators recently with Lane Kiffin. For all we know, LSU are a bunch of bumbling morons, right? Let's call it off what it is. Look how they've handled this Brian Kelly situation. You got the governor running stuff. So there's a lot of leaks with LSU. Like, we know everything LSU are up to because they're not a tight-run organization now. So we know that they offered them $90 million only, and it's only $13 million a year. That's underwhelming, like, to me. Like, really? Like, you want Lane Kiffin to uproot here and leave? Like, I thought they were going to come at him with, like, $20 million a year or something like that. So $13 million a year is kind of underwhelming. But my point is, we haven't heard a peep out of Florida. There's no leaks coming out of Florida. For all we know, man, Florida secretly put together a $150 million deal for him. And he's going to announce on Saturday, I'm going to Florida. Right? And don't forget, he wants to go. He wanted the Florida job. He didn't even want the LSU job. Just the LSU job, the LSU job's available. And, you know, they have a lot of money and they have good players and stuff. But I've said this, but Ben, we'll get your pick on the game. But Mississippi are better than LSU and Florida now. So it's kind of ironic. Mm-hmm. He's going to leave for a worse place when he already has it really good at Ole Miss right now. But what's your pick, Babano?
Yeah, it's him that's, you know, built it up through this little run that they've had, obviously, with Jackson Dart and now this year Trinidad Chambliss to be year in and year out, you know, in the mix, I guess you could say, as far as SEC championship, in the mix as far as a playoff bid.
They can't now say... You can't say you can't win at Mississippi.
No. Nope.
You can't say, like, hell, I wouldn't go
you
there, but people
could.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, but, do. Like, no, but for years, like, where did A.J. Brown play? Mississippi, right? Like, you
DK
just said
Metcalf.
Jackson Dart, Mississippi, like, yeah, DK Metcalf. So it's not like, oh, you know, like, that was Brian Kelly's beef at Notre Dame.
Right.
Was, you know, I can't get, like, the full all-out elite players to play in South Bend, Indiana that I can in LSU. Well, I think more of Kelly was you couldn't get them there because Marcus Freeman's getting them there. But it's different. Like, with Mississippi, you can win. Like, Mississippi hasn't lost because they've been hindered by a budget or haven't had the tools or the players. No, they've lost because, you know, they are what they are. They're like a one or two loss team, you know, two loss team every year. But this is the best team that he's had. Their defense is really good. That's what people don't talk about. What's your pick, Babano? Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Well, I'm with Cam. I kind of lean Mississippi State. My one concern, though, is, and the hope is the bye week helps this for Jeff Lebby's team, is the defense had some injuries, and the defense is just not good to begin with, but they also had injuries, and they couldn't stop anything before the bye week. They're giving up 49 to Missouri. And keep in mind, when they gave up 49 to Missouri, that was after Bo Perbula got injured. Zollers was the quarterback in that game, and they still gave up 49 points. They gave up 41 to Georgia, 35 to Arkansas, 45 to. It's not a very good defense, the Bulldogs. So that's the concern. Chambliss could have a field day. So I prefer the over because I do think, as good as Ole Miss defensively is, Still gave up 24 to Florida at home 2 weeks ago. Florida did nothing offensively, couldn't move the football against Tennessee on Saturday. So I think Mississippi State, Blake Shapen and company, can do some things offensively. So I much prefer the over than either side.
Mississippi State, as you stated, their defense, you know, they've been terrible, right? Their offense got better this year, and their defense is still, like, mediocre. But I was going to say Mississippi don't really need style points. But at the same point in time, I don't think that they take the pedal off the metal. And I think this Lane Kiffin stuff, I think whatever Kiffin does, I don't think it'll be this distraction to the football team that people think it is. I think Kiffin will know how to talk to them, even if he is leaving. Right? I think he'll still get them ready to go here in this game. The kids still have their own dreams, and they're still like, it's not just Lane Kiffin here. I think it's going to be kind of close, but Ole Miss will pull away in the end. And it's hard to bet an under, like Babano said. I'll say like 42-28 Ole Miss.
That's what this game sounds like.
Yeah, like they won't get embarrassed, but Ole Miss are just better than they
38-27. That really, like, they'll just get the cover.
That's right on the total.
Yeah, there you go.
42-28.
Yeah.
Get us to 70 points. 40, like 10, I don't know, 10 or 14.
Total 62 and a half. So 38-27 is the over. Yep.
Yeah, that'll get you to 65. Now you get to Georgia Tech. Point spread is up to 14. What's your pick in that one, Babano? 14-point spread against Georgia Tech.
Here's the thing. Georgia Tech should have beat Georgia last year. Played a great game. Haynes King, Jamal Haynes in the run game really gave Georgia problems. And they're running that whole group on offense back this year. So part of me wants to think Georgia Tech can be right in this game. The defense is just miserable, though. This has been multiple weeks of just real bad defense from this Yellow Jackets team. Boston College put up 30, you know, against this team just a few weeks ago. So that's my real concern with Georgia Tech and taking the points here in this game. I don't think there's much pressure on Georgia. It's just win and you'll be fine, obviously, as far as all your goals are concerned. So I feel like I want to be on Georgia Tech again because I took the points with them against Georgia in the matchup last year that went to overtime. The defensive concerns are real. The turnover concerns are real. Georgia Tech's just become one of these teams that shoot themselves in the foot. Not what you want to see against a caliber of opponent like this, but at 14 or better, it's still Georgia Tech for me. It's another one, 59.5. It's hard to play an under with this Georgia Tech D right now.
Yeah, Georgia's defense is getting better, but Georgia's offense has gotten better as well. So I agree with the hard to play the under in this game. Cam, what's your pick, Georgia Tech?
There probably should be points in this game, too. When these guys get together, it usually turns into fireworks. I lean Georgia Tech. That was a pathetic first half, and they couldn't come back against Pitt, Gabe. We talked about trap lines here. Why is it 2.5? Well, the bookmakers, as you say, respect the odds maker. They got it right with Pitt winning outright. But this is a different type of game, too. I think they'll be ready to play Georgia in this spot. I would take the 14 points in this spot. It seems like a lot of points with Georgia Tech and a rebound spot. Georgia wins. Georgia Tech covers.
I'm in a more of a chalky favorite mood this week. I think Georgia might be the best team in the country right now, actually. Like, they're kind of really flying under the radar. Gunnar Stockton is killing it. He's the number one quarterback in the SEC. Diego Pavia does the TikTok videos, right? And has got the hot mom. And, you know, I don't know what Gunnar Stockton's mom looks like. You know what I'm saying?
maybe nice.
And I know Gunnar Stockton's like a balding, middle-aged, looks like he's a 40-year-old man. But, like, I know that, you know, he's just killing it. Highest completion percentage. Like, he's rushed for the most touchdowns even in the conference, which people wouldn't realize and think. I kind of get the feeling Georgia dialed it up a notch and they're going to murder them. And I like, it's Georgia aren't even going to play in the SEC conference championship game probably, which is weird for them, like with their spot. So this will be their last game before the playoffs. I could see them just laying a hammer down and saying, all right, do what you will with the rankings, guys. We just, you know, 48-14 win, right? I love this Georgia Tech team all year too, but they've hit the wall. The bubble has burst. And I don't think Georgia are going to take the pedal off the metal. And the game's not in Atlanta either. Well, it is in Atlanta, right? But it's at the Falcon Stadium. It's at Mercedes-Benz.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, it's like a road home game. Normally, like, it's in Atlanta, at Georgia Tech Stadium. It's not. Like, it's a neutral field at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So, that's also a bad – that's not good for Georgia Tech. I think Georgia are going to end up killing them. Texas A&M and Texas Babano Friday night. Another massive playoff implication football game. Although we should know, Texas A&M lose, they're still getting in the playoffs. But they're playing for an undefeated season and a spot in the SEC Conference Championship game. Texas trying to salvage their playoff hopes, potentially. Texas would get in, guys, but they would need Ole Miss to lose to Mississippi State. They need to beat Texas A&M, and they need Alabama to lose to Auburn. And then Texas would get in the SEC Conference Championship game. What's your pick, Babano? A&M or the Longhorns?
I'm actually leaning Longhorns here. And I thought for sure when I first saw this number, 2.5 Texas A&M looked pretty cheap for an undefeated team. 10-0 that's been rolling. Well, outside of the bad first half against South Carolina. And then, of course, they had the furious comeback to win. But outside of that, you know, it's been beat down city one after another. But then you go through this schedule. What have they really done outside of the Notre Dame win? You know, this was supposed to be, you know, an SEC schedule where some of these teams were supposed to be pretty good this year. Auburn was supposed to be better. They've disappointed. Florida's had a disappointing season, fired coach. Arkansas's had a bad season, fired coach. They beat them down. LSU, bad season, disappointing, fired coach. They beat them down. Missouri, in a game where they didn't even have their best quarterback playing. I mean, you look at this A&M schedule, and it's less, leaves a lot to be desired. They haven't faced Georgia. They haven't faced Alabama. They haven't faced Ole Miss. They haven't faced anybody, you know, from the top tier in the SEC. And I'm not saying Texas is right there at the top tier, but you look at Texas, at least they've gone up against, you know, Oklahoma this year. They've gone up against Georgia.
I know it's early, Babano, but they beat Notre Dame in week three, 41-40. Yeah. That's a quality win. You know, Arkansas put up points. Like, they've done damage on the road. You're right. They haven't played the toughest schedule, but literally look at Texas too. That win against Arkansas wasn't as damage suppressive as people think it was. They have a lot of flaws defensively.
They do. They have a lot. That's the key. And that's why I like this. I lean, like I said, I don't love, this is another one where I like the total more than the side, but I have enough concerns about A&M, to be honest, with what they've faced in SEC play. And don't look now, Arch Manning in the offense is starting to at least put things together. I'm not saying they're a great offense, but they've been better here the last few games, going back to the Vanderbilt
game. They couldn't run the ball last week against Arkansas, even.
Yeah. Throwing the ball, they were good. And that's going to be the passing game worked. You're right. The run game is still very spotty. Like I said, I thought for sure A&M minus 2.5, but I've got some lingering doubts about this A&M team as far as what they have faced in SEC play. I like this total over 51.5 because I think this Texas defense all year has been overrated. They give up points. They gave up 35 to Georgia, 31 to Vandy, 38 to Mississippi State. Marcel Reed and A&M will score. But again, this A&M defense, guys, like South Carolina, Missouri with a backup quarterback, LSU's offense has been a disappointment this year. Florida's offense has been a disappointment. Like, Texas, I think, is going to move the ball on this team. So I think 51.5 is a great, great bargain number to bet over.
Cam, your pick, Texas Tech A&M?
I agree with Babano on the total. I think there's going to be fireworks in this game, but I like A&M, Gabe. I know they haven't been playing their best football the last few weeks, but still an undefeated team. Texas, sure, Arch Manning and the offense a little bit better, but I'm not sold. I almost feel, Gabe, this could be like a weird trap line, kind of like the Pitt game last week with under three. But you know what? I got to go with A&M to get an undefeated seeding any season heading into the SEC championship game. But that total seems very, very light as well. Babano, we agree. I'll take the Aggies and the over.
Texas A&M has struggled historically. They haven't played, and you know, they'll play too much anymore. Don't forget, Texas A&M left the Big 12 because they didn't like Texas, and then Texas ends up joining the SEC after. So here we go again. Man, I think Texas have been overpriced and overrated all year long. I think this is just another instance of this, and I think Texas A&M are going to, like, beat them down. In fact, I'm going to call it now, and I don't want him to get seriously injured.
You should be betting some alternative spreads then on Texas
A&M. Maybe. Pull a Tony Finn. Yeah.
No, well, I don't have to get cocky. It's hard enough to win, Babano.
It's hard enough to win.
Hard enough to pick it. Win. Yeah. But I'm going to call it now. I say that Arch Manning gets hurt. I think that Texas A&M are going to, like, I don't mean murder them in the sense they're going to win by 50 type thing. I think Texas A&M are going to beat the crap out of them in the trenches. They don't like them. They're going to send a message, and I think they're going to pulverize, like smoke, like Arch Manning type thing. Like when Arch Manning, if he runs or he draws back the pass, he better have his head on a swivel, because the kids on Texas A&M are violent. And they lead the league in sack. They lead the country in sacks. They lead the everything and like, you know, hits behind the line of scrimmage. Texas A&M's strength is their defensive line. Like, so that's where I just think the battle is. I think, yeah, Arch Manning's got a little better. I think it's a reality check for the kid again here, where A&M are just going to fly around. But it is a rivalry game, man. It's Texas football on a Friday night. Texas A&M, Texas, undefeated season, playoff spots. It should be. I'm fired up. It's as good as it gets. All right, so we got a couple more minutes with Bano. We'll hit a couple of more big games in the NFL on the way out here. Clemson, South Carolina, one of those big-time games. You throw the record out there. I personally like Clemson to end strong here. Clemson have been playing better football. They're going to end the season on a four-game win streak with a win here. But, of course, Michigan, and Ohio State. Listen, man, at noon Eastern on Saturday, we got some big ones. So you got Clemson, South Carolina, Michigan, Ohio State, which is like, you know, always the game of the year type of deal. And Miami, Florida, lay 7, Babano, at Pitt. And the big debate in the playoffs right now is Notre Dame and Miami. They have the same record, but Notre Dame is ranked ahead of them, even though Miami beat them. And people in Miami are not, you know, they're not very happy about this. We just saw Notre Dame absolutely murder Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Miami know what they have to do. They not only have to win the game, they have to win the game with style points in Pittsburgh. And anytime you go into a game needing style points and thinking not only do we have to win, that's when it gets trappish and it gets tricky. What are your picks, Babano? Miami, Florida, Pittsburgh, and Ohio State, Michigan?
Well, first of all, I want to talk Clemson because I agree with you. I like Clemson there. They're finishing strong. You know, Dabo's doing the weekly interview saying nobody believed in us and look at these kids showing their heart and all that. And look, they're backing it up on the field. You know, they've played well these last few games. So I like the idea of getting them as a slight underdog. There's another game I think could get over the total. Since they fired Mike Shula, South Carolina's their offensive coordinator, started open up the playbook a little bit the last few weeks with the new OC playing a little bit faster. And they're starting to put up more points. And Clemson, I think, is going to move the ball too. So 46.5 might be an over for me there. I could only look Michigan now, just based on the history. You know, Ohio State's obviously struggled with Michigan. The weather's not going to be the greatest. Michigan, you know, is going to have to obviously protect the football. We've talked about it even before the show. Bryce Underwood's had turnover issues, but you know, for me, it's just difficult to lay this kind of a price for as good as Ohio State's played. They're definitely the more talented team this year, given what they've done the last few years and the struggles they've had with Michigan. And I'm all over Pitt, guys. I have no confidence and faith in this Miami team and Cristobal going to the, you know, colder environment of the Northeast in a late season game like this against a pretty good Pittsburgh team. I think that's a battle for them from start to finish. They've already lost a couple of road games this year, you know, including SMU. They were a big road favorite in that game. They lost outright. I think there's a dangerous game, dangerous opponent for Miami. I think Pitt keeps that within one score.
Yeah, Notre Dame are a great road team. Miami are not, right? It's a little, big difference. Like, you know, Notre Dame are used to going into Pitt and these places and just blowing these teams out. It's always shaky for Miami when they go on the road. Like, always shaky. And now there's a ton of pressure on Miami right now.
And they found something in the freshman quarterback straight out of high school, Mason Heinschel. He's played so well for Pitt for the most part. Notre Dame, he had a bad game, but it's Notre Dame. Pretty good defense down the stretch from them.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh's defense isn't very good. And I think that you can rattle Carson Beck, but I think you have to be really good to do it. I think like Beck will get rattled in the playoffs against a real team and stuff, but you know, I think I can see Miami showing up. I'm not ready to lay seven. I'll tell you that. I'm not laying seven with the Hurricanes on the road. No way in hell. And obviously I will be on the Michigan Wolverines there. All right. Before we get you out of here, Babano, NFL football, great triple header for the National Football League on Thursday. And an even better one on Friday with the Chicago Bears and the Eagles. What do you like?
I think it's a discount with Detroit. I know they looked bad against the Eagles on Sunday night football a couple weeks ago. And obviously they had to battle just to get past the New York Giants last week. But I think getting them at 2.5 at home, and Green Bay is still to me. I mean, look at that Minnesota game. You know, the offense still got some concerns to me. The defense was great, completely shut down McCarthy and the Vikings. But, you know, the offense still has some concerns in my mind. So I like the idea of getting Detroit below a field goal. There in that game. Kansas City, Dallas is tough because Dallas from that huge comeback against Philly, I don't trust them to follow that up with such a huge comeback win. Kansas City, you know, beating the Colts, knowing that the margin for error for them as far as getting a wild card spot's very thin. I probably lean Kansas City there. Don't love it, but I would definitely take Chiefs before Cowboys -3. Cincy, Baltimore, I know Burrow's back, but with this number coming down because of the Burrow news, I'm probably more inclined to look at Baltimore in some fashion, Baltimore team total over, because this is still just a horrendous, awful. Is Joe Burrow going to play defense for this team? I don't think so. And it's still an awful, awful Bengals defense. So Baltimore maybe -7, but more so I'm going to look at that team total for the Ravens, which is at 30.5 in that game. I think they get well into the 30s.
Cam, your Thanksgiving picks?
I agree with Babano on the Lions. I think they'll finally find a way to get it done. And Gabe, you actually brought up some interesting points the last podcast. I'm looking at the totals of this game. I'm going to be a little bit contrarian. I think these teams know each other. Under 48.5, I find on FanDuel. It's 48 on Bet365. I think it's a lower scoring game. I'll take the Dallas Cowboys plus the points. Love the over 52 in the Kansas City Cowboys game. Absolute track meet. And Baltimore, Cincinnati, just the over. I don't really like a side in this game. I don't want to lay 7 with Baltimore, but over 51.
But Babano, before we get you out of here, NHL hockey tonight, you like anything on the ice?
Yeah, I'm going to take a shot with the Jets tonight. You know, they lost a couple of home games. They're on the road now. You know, band together, have a better game against Washington tonight. They beat Washington last year in both meetings as well. So I think the Jets might be live. It's a good spot for them. Pretty good price. I like that. And we got to bet some of the best over streaks going in hockey. Montreal's on an 11-1 over streak, and Vancouver is on a 12-1 over streak. Right now. So I'm on the Habs and the Mammoth over 6 and the Ducks and the Canucks over 6.5. With Demko and Lankanen both injured now for Vancouver, it looks like Yuri Patera is going to get the start in net for them tonight. And his numbers, not so good.
Lankanen's gone, but he's not injured. He's left the team for personal reasons.
Personal matters, yeah. Personal matters, yeah.
Yuri, don't call me Ken Patera, Gabe, and net the third stringer? Wow.
Yeah. It's been
one of the last 13 Canuck games over the total, and yeah. I've been on a bunch of them. Yep.
It's getting ugly in Vancouver early this year with the media and the team and just overall. In fact, you can't believe everything that the media says, but Elliot Friedman is saying that the Canucks are basically almost ready to start dealing right now and they're going to break it up and sort of rebuild and start over because this team is fading. They just don't have it. Like we talked hockey yesterday. They're a little like the Leafs. You know, there's higher expectations for the Leafs, whatever, but like they're just kind of heartless. Like I hate to say it, like with the Canucks, like I'm not saying they don't care, but they don't care like as much as the other teams care.
Well, there's only Calgary and Nashville lower than them in the West right now in the standings. That's it.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be that way. Like they have players. Yeah. You know what I mean? They haven't even been besieged by injuries. It hasn't been perfect. Demko's always hurt, but Lankanen's good. Like, they're in games. Like, they fall apart. And I'd like to see their third period scores.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's all you need to know about them. Like, they'll be, it's tied 2-2 after 2. The Canucks look pretty good. It's like, all right, they lost 5-2. Right? It happens all the time. Like, where it's like, oh, yeah, they're in
it.
Yeah,
their goal differential in the third is not good off the top of my head. I remember seeing it, like, a few days ago. It's not good.
They fall apart. Like, they don't have a next step. They show up, they fly around. It's like a beer league game. And, like, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, they're mailing it in, but they don't, it's like, dude, you gotta fight for that puck in the corner, bro. You can't just sort of skate by it. Like, you know, at some point you gotta,
there's
block
no battle in the defensive zone from them. Teams are just wheeling the puck around in the offensive zone against Vancouver. Like they have a free pass to do it.
Yeah. They're a poorly constructed team. They lack chemistry in the room, and like the mismatch of players that they have, it's a problem. It sucks. It's a disappointment. I haven't even gone to a game yet this year. I was off, you know, they haven't played on the weekends that much, and the Whitecaps are in the playoffs still. So, but I was all excited. Oh, the White, Canuck season, I'm going to go to the games and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, they're so bad. It's like, I don't want to go there and watch them lose 5-2 to the Calgary Flames. What's the point? Although the tickets are getting cheaper, I'll say that. The women's team is hotter than the Canucks are in Vancouver now. Like, for real. Like, it could get serious. Like, the Canucks might get trolled by the women's team.
I was going to say, you want to see a winning product on the ice, go to support the PWHL team. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, like, people already, like, with the jokes, like, hasn't taken long. Like, the Golden Eyes are the best hockey team in the city. But the thing is, they sold out their game. And the tickets were more expensive for like the women's game than Canucks. Like Canucks tickets are going for cheap now online. Nobody wants to go, and the women's are all hot. Like, so it's a bad look for the Vancouver Canucks. But maybe they're only 3 games under 500. They just need to go on a run. The thing is, they have never gone on that run. Right? They've just never strung together like 3-4 wins in a row. It's always win one, lose two, win one, lose one. Like, they, you know, they're not terrible, but they better start effing winning. Otherwise, it's going to be a long ice season in Vancouver. Ian Cameron, Ice Guys. Thanks, Papano.
Good to be with you guys. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk next week.
You got it. There's Ian Cameron with us. We'll get Cam's golf picks here.
I don't even think there is any, Gabe. They're finally going to take a break. You got like a Skins game this week. No thanks.
Well, they're playing in Australia, Cam.
Oh, what, the other tour? Yeah.
BMW Australian PGA Championship. But Joaquin Neiman, Minwoo Lee. He's got a decent Adam Scott, Leishman, Cam Smith, Carlos Ortiz. Huh.
I got to be honest with you, because you showed the Live guys and the DP World Tour in Fusion this week. I haven't even looked at it. I'll give it a long, hard look. But, wow, you're right. That's the field's a hell of a lot better than I thought. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think they do Thanksgiving in Australia.
They don't do Thanksgiving. Halloween in Canada.
They're not taking the week off. Yeah, I don't want to insult them. Yeah, I like they do Halloween in Australia. Yeah, that's Scott Wetzel asked me if there's Halloween in Canada.
That's my favorite so far. Yeah, the BMW Australia Championship. There's you're actually right. This is like a pretty good, this is very good. I'm actually shocked by like the first guys. Yeah, you got Neiman, Minwoo Lee. Like, you're right. Like Alex Pat, yeah. This is a good.
Yeah, it's a mix, not bad. Like you said. It's, you know, Rory's not there and Xander's not there, but there's some real players here. Adam Scott, 17th. I wouldn't let plus 850 for Neiman.
No,
that's too low. I mean,
I'd look at Adam Scott, who actually plays well in his tournament. I wish we got a little bit more than 17. Leishman's coming back from injury. He's a Live player, but he's also an Aussie at 17. Those are pretty good numbers. Cam Smith's not in good form, but just looking at the board quickly, those are a couple of guys that I would look at. At 17-1, Adam Scott will be fired up for his home country tournament.
Now, one of the biggest, it's a big story in the news right now about a former Canadian Olympian. His name is Ryan Wedding. So he's an Olympian. He was on the Olympic team in 2002. So it was a while ago. He was at Salt Lake City Games. Snowboarder. So Canadian snowboarder. After the Olympics, he started getting into another, he was already an expert in powders on ski hills. So he got into the cocaine business after he was an Olympic athlete, except he grew into one of the biggest drug kingpins in the world, literally and figuratively. And he's been wanted now for a couple of years by the FBI. All right. He's actually on the 10 most wanted list of the FBI, which is, you know, that's pretty serious when like you got to that
big time.
When you got to that point, they've had a $10 million. He's been wanted by authorities for a couple of years, but the FBI got in on this in October of 2024. In March, he was added to the list of the 10 most wanted fugitives in the world by the U.S. government. They raised the bounty for information to his arrest to $15 million right now. And they're stumped. They can't find the guy. I think they kind of know where he is, but they can't find him. And it's an incredible story in which, so as I stated, he was a parallel giant slalom snowboarder in the Olympics. He started running a drug operation out of the Vancouver, BC area with ties to Asian syndicates and the Hell's Angels, except he ended up rising in the industry, like big time. He had been on the run for around a decade. So basically, he's now partners with the cartels in Colombia. And he's in the mountains of Colombia somewhere, except he's being protected. And like $15 million, a lot of money there, Cam, right? So a lot of money there. So you figure that's the only way they're going to get him, if someone snitches him out and says this is exactly where he is. But the thing is, the people that he's with, they're going to find out that you did it, right? Like, you will not be anonymous in this. So, and these are the type of people, Cam, where they'll murder like everyone, you know, your pets, your goldfish, mm-hmm. your family. Like, this isn't like, oh, I'm going to take the 15 mil and I'll disappear. Yeah. Well, you better not care about anything else, because they will just blow everything up in your world and your existence here. So this Ryan Wedding guy, he's wanted in Canada, and this isn't cool. Actually, this is the bad part, where, because it sounds like, oh, it sounds like a fun story, coke dealer, an Olympian and stuff like that. But in the Toronto area, somebody upset him, and he hired a hit to whack them. They shot the wrong house up in like Mississauga, Scarborough type of thing. They kill like an Indian family. He shot the wrong house up. It wasn't him, but he hired people, but they killed like the mother and like the father in the driveway type of thing. Cold-blooded, like, just, and it was the wrong people. So that got him on the radar of the Canadian authorities, and then he was wanted. And it's pretty wild. So in total, Wedding has been charged with 8 felonies, including 3 counts of murder, 1 count of attempted to commit murder. The 43-year-old is said to have connections to the Hell's Angels and to the Sinaloa, to the Guzman, El Chapo, and Colombian cartels. The Wedding drug trafficking organization is unremitting, callous, greed-driven crimes that have been operating for too long, says the drug enforcement authorities. I'd say, here it is. The investigation into Wedding involved cops in Los Angeles, Toronto, Detroit, Buffalo, Mexico, Colombia, and Interpol in Europe. They seized nearly 2 tons of cocaine worth up to $25 million, as well as multiple firearms, $3.2 million in cryptocurrency. They're busting like the remaining people that kind of know him now. If convicted, the Olympic athlete turned drug lord will spend the rest of his life in prison. So he whacked the wrong people in Toronto. And then the DEA had him lined up as part of like an international, whatever, conspiracy drug operation. He then murdered the witnesses in Colombia, Cam. Like, at broad daylight. Well, you figure that would happen a lot. Witnesses in Medellin, yeah, in Colombia, oh, sure, would get whacked. But like,
yes.
So long story short, this guy has the power, Cam, to get anybody whacked anywhere. Like, that's why they're like, man, like, he's freaking powerful. Like, he snaps his fingers and he's got people shooting at homes up in Toronto. You've got a DA FBI witness, Cam, in witness protection, basically. They found out who he was, tracked him down, and murdered him. Like basically, like, this is like right out of a movie. Like, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, an FBI, the TV show where the cartel has an inside in the FBI and stuff. Like, they're a step ahead, Cam. They know. They're like, yeah, this is the witness. Whack him. This is the person that's going to testify. Whack them. This is a loose end in Toronto. Whack him.
This is nuts.
Like, it's a global, he's got that much power. It's pretty wild to me, though, Cam, that he's a white dude.
Yes.
That somehow, and they're saying that he's being protected by the cartels, that he is so deep in the mountains, they will not give him up. And that the FBI said he's like basically that this guy is able to, from a mountain somewhere in Mexico, get witnesses whacked in Colombia, Cam. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, they can't get him, bro. I'm telling you, I've been following this. Now they're getting desperate. They're like, they're really public with this now. They just busted all of his buddies that he knows in Vancouver. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hangers on. Like, they're trying to shake him. Like, they're trying to get people to rat on him to say, like, where the F is he for real? Except, the guys like this don't know where he is. Like, the guy's in the mountains in, like, Colombia
exactly.
or something.
Good luck.
Yeah, and he's protected by the Colombian government and armies and all this type of stuff.
I'm reading the story about the mistaken identity. They're, like, two older, like, East Indian people from Caledon, Ontario. Like, what the hell is going on here?
He's like,
kidding me? This story's crazy, man. Like, I've heard of this before, Morenci. I think they had it on, like, a report, but I didn't know the details of this, how deep this thing
went. He offered the money after, supposedly. Wow. He dropped, like, $250,000 on their step to the family or something like that. Like, yeah, it's right out of a movie, this dude. Oh. Like, yeah, he was sorry, but, you know, sorry for your loss. Here's $250,000. F
he's off. Like some redhead. You said he's like a redheaded white guy. Like, he looks tough. It's like a curly
hair.
Yeah,
it's weird, though.
It's like, what the hell?
Like, he's like curls. At some point, the cartels would be like, all right, F this Canadian guy. Well, like, we got the FBI on it. We got the DEA wanting to invade our country to find him. We're giving him up, but they're not giving him up, Ken.
Guy's powerful.
Supposedly, he's made so much money for them, and they like his ruthlessness.
Yeah,
his nickname is El Fefe. Like, he's got a nickname. Like, he's known as, like, the white devil there.
That's crazy, man. It's just, the story is
how'd you go
nuts.
From a snowboarder in the Olympics to one of the most ruthless,
exactly.
Like, you know, what ruthless people and, like, gangsters in the world. The Olympian, all right, prosecutors, so here it is. Wedding was convicted of conspiracy to distribute cocaine in 2010. According to reports, he apologized and swayed the judge, who told Wedding that she was persuaded to hand down a lighter sentence than the first 48. So this is the best game. He got arrested in San Diego in like 2010 with $100,000 cash and a bunch of cocaine on him. And he got a light sentence, except in typical fashion, bro, when he was in jail, this is where he met the cartel.
Amazing. That's great. You're right. This has got a movie written all over.
Yeah, so in jail, he makes these contacts, gets out of jail, and ends up, like, taking over Los Angeles. Like, bro, he took over Vancouver with the Asians, but then he moved into California, which you just don't do, Cam. Like, the cartels run California. So, like, this guy became the biggest cocaine dealer in California. And what it was he was the dealer, Cam, that wasn't scared of, like, all the gangs and stuff. You know what I mean? You know, like the Crips and the Bloods are like, man, you're some white guy from Canada.
Yeah, he's a mercenary.
Like, you'll end up in a ditch if you have with me. Like, type of guy.
Dude, right? I just look into his eyes, like, pure, like, chasm. Like, empty killer. Like, you know what I mean?
I know. You see him.
See that picture? Oh, my God. He looks scary as hell. Yeah.
You want to be inconspicuous. You're on the run. He's wearing a Dodger baseball hat. Like,
I know.
On the run. Like, he's almost
look
like,
at him. Look at him as, like, you see, they have two pictures in the story. Like, one, he looks like the nice neighborly kid who's, like, selling cookies. And, hey, I'm a snowboarder. The next one, you look at him, he's like Jesus turned, like, into the devil, like, with those eyes. It's like,
there's
whoa,
a picture
man.
Of him with that Dodger hat with the polka dots and stuff like that.
Crazy.
They were saying, like, that watch he's wearing, Cam, is, like, $250,000.
Huh.
And that T-shirt, because I remember I joked about this last year with this. I said, damn, man, you know, the guy's got a lot of money. I guess the T-shirt he's wearing is $1,700.
Wow.
So, like, that's why, like, the FBI were basically saying that he's taunting us. Like, he's not, like, on the run in a ditch somewhere. The guy's walking around in designer clothes still. Like, you know what I mean?
And if they're protecting him because he's the top dog, good luck. Like, you know what I mean? Unless they turn on him, you're never going to get this guy. Like,
the thing is, they all know too much about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm surprised, Cam, because you figured that the cartels would figure, listen, the DA is going to get him eventually. They always get their guy. They're going to get him. And what if he flips on us all? Right? Like, they must be convinced that this guy is pure gangster, that he won't snitch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, no, like, he's proven himself already. So yeah, I like that he swayed the judge. Like you said, Cam, he played the I'm an Olympian. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Big mistake. You guys wearing like a cardigan and stuff in 2024. Nice, like what is the man? Wow, this story is absolutely incredible.
His lawyers told the judge he was not a drug kingpin. He was just trying to break into the drug trade, and it didn't work out, and it was a mistake.
Yeah, he's selling like outbacks. Okay.
It said the former Olympian was then locked up alongside many mules and drug runners and minor players in the Mexican drug market. He went to jail in San Diego, right near Mexican border.
Wow.
He was reportedly briefly imprisoned alongside Acebo Garcia, who I guess is one of the most powerful people in the industry. One former FBI agent told Rolling Stone, We really turned him into a much better drug dealer than he ever was by putting him in jail. Upon his release, cops said Wedding went back to the drug trafficking. In fact, built this prolific and ruthless organization. This is where my hometown comes in, Cam, of course. He moved to Montreal and began, of course. I swear to God, guys, like, so I was going to kick out of this when you see on TV and they're like, oh, the Hell's Angels are dead. And they're just, just a bunch of, it's like, oh, yeah, they're dead.
Sure they are.
But yeah, he got him out of jail. He moved to Montreal where he hooked up with the Hell's Angels and was back in the authority sightings. This time he was linked with El Chapo. In 2015, he unwittingly told an undercover agent that he imported cocaine. They discussed possible smuggling deals through the Caribbean. Wow. Wedding told them that he can get upwards of 1,000 kilos at a time for them.
This guy's animal.
That's like guys like the thousand. Like, oh yeah, I'll get you 1,000 keys, no problem. Where you need it, like he basically said that he can import 1,000 keys anywhere. Like oh no, like he can get it there. In April, the RCMP of Canada announced several arrests and multiple charges related to a 2-year international drug trafficking investigation with ties to Colombia and Mexican cartels. Wedding faced 5 charges and an arrest warrant was issued. He has been a fugitive since. The authorities suspect that he has the protection of the Sinaloa cartel, one of the most infamous drug gangs in the world, which is headed by El Chapo. Earlier this year, they were added to the list of terrorist organizations. 2023, according to the CBC, someone who told U.S. cops that he had trafficked for a wedding for more than a decade and agreed to cooperate. Yeah, you're going to end up dead, buddy. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, your family. Right. Like, and that's another thing. Like, the FBI yesterday was saying about how they have a new informant and they're learning a lot more stuff. It's like, you don't think that Ryan Wedding is seeing the news and he knows this?
Yeah.
And he's got a list. Can't I, you know what these guys think, too? He's like, all right, I got like 6 people in Canada that really know a lot about me. Which one is it? How about we kill them all just to be safe?
That's correct.
Like, you know what I mean? That's the way these guys think. Like, you'll just think, you know what? I'm going to have to whack everybody then. More than 2 decades have passed since he slumped his way down the mountain in Salt Lake City. I like this, the FBI. Wedding went from shredding powder on the slopes at the Olympics to distributing powder cocaine on the streets of U.S. cities and his native Canada.
Pulp powder.
The alleged murders of his competitors make Wedding a very dangerous man. And that's why he has been added to our 10 most wanted fugitive list. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if I knew where he was, I'm not telling you.
No, you're getting nothing.
For the 15, no, because exactly. You don't get a chance to spend the money.
Yeah, I know where he's in the mountain here. Next thing you know, party's over.
Like, that's the thing. These people will find out. Like, this isn't for like, sure. Oh, you'll be safe. They have FBI informants. These, like, dude, they're the Sinaloa cartel. Like, you're not going to get them. I guess, you know what, though? They're getting pissed, Cam. I don't know. The only thing they could do, what are they going to do? They're going to send the U.S. Army into the mountains to try to find them?
See, that's kind of the point. It's going to have to be a crazy operation, man. They just, like... They have to balance the books and say, hey, what is it worth to us? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's a huge undertaking to do something like that.
Cause like they did it for El Chapo. They've done it for a few people or the Mexican government. Cause the Mexican authorities know where he is for sure. Right. So, and they're not going to tell the U.S. cause they just, whatever. It's like this game is being played. So like the Mexican army essentially would have to F with the Sinaloa cartel to do this. And they know if they do that, then the Sinaloa cartel will just start taking tourists hostage and shooting up hotels.
Correct.
Right. So there's sort of this, like, it's a, there's like a game that needs to be played with this. Yet, you know why this guy's so hard to find and others, but they got the other guy. They got the other kingpin that recently that they can never find. El Chapo was an idiot. And I say that with all due respect. Don't get me killed. I don't think he hears the show, but like, El Chapo was doing interviews with Sean Penn and Rolling Stone magazine.
Exactly.
Like, El Chapo was like sleeping with like celebrity Mexican actresses and soap opera actresses. And the cops were like laughing. They were like, let's just follow this actress. Where is she going up into the mountains? Like, why is this soap opera actress going into this dangerous territory? Obviously, she's sleeping with someone there. Right. So they actually, it was easy to figure out where he was and stuff. This guy, Ryan Wedding, I mean, I imagine he's like, he's probably living in a really like a beachfront somewhere, just so isolated, probably next to like a general or something. Sort of like Bin Laden, right? Bin Laden set up shop right next to the Pakistani Air Force.
Yeah, this guy's like
he literally compound? Was living on an Air Force base, like next good, to like right in the middle of where you wouldn't think he would be, you know?
Yeah, good luck getting into that compound. Think about the security there. Oh, God. Yikes.
Well, it's like I said, Cab, you could do it. I guarantee you the Mexican authorities know where he is. They'd be like, yeah, listen, he's in these mountains. He's in this region. And, you know, but they also know if they F with that region and they go over the top, the cartels could make, like, you know what I mean? Mexican is driven by tourism. They've already done it. Like, the cartel the other day basically said, we're going to start kidnapping all white tourists. To send a message, right? Like, so it's pretty wild stuff. But I'm telling you what, the FBI and the U.S., they're clearly obsessed with this right now. Like, they are flooding the media with constant stories. It's popping up everywhere over the last couple of days, which tells me they must think they're close. They must be rocking the boat right now, and they must think someone's going to rat them out soon for the 15 mil, but we'll keep our eye on this story. I thought it was an interesting story to let you know about. All right, Cam. So I'll see you on Saturday.
Yes. Yes.
No podcast on Thursday, Thanksgiving, and Friday, same thing. Sports Grid and a holiday schedule. And we'll be on Saturday at noon for the Michigan-Ohio State game, man.
Can't wait. What a day that's going to be. There's so many great games at 12. Like, this could be our best 12 Eastern time slot ever. Like, there's a million good games.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty stressful for me. Playoff spot on the line, dreaded, hated Ohio State. But I'm just going to have fun with it. I said before the year started, I think Michigan are going to be 9-3 or 10-2. And their win total was 8.5. So they did what I thought they were going to do. Let's see if we could pull it off one more time and beat them for the fifth straight year. But I'll see you guys on Thursday night. I'll be on Thursday night on TV and radio and all that at 8 o'clock Eastern for the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals football game. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We'll see you online, and we'll see you on the grid. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.